For 65 years, we have gathered to worship and serve the Lord. And we could not and would not have done it even one time if it were not for God's grace. Amen? By God's grace and for His glory, we choose to continue to do it. What should we do in order to continue? What is the plan for the future? Brothers and sisters of Trinity Baptist, it is time to reach for the future. Would you pray with me, please? Would you pray right now that God would open your heart and soften your heart? Pray that He would speak to you about what you need to do as an individual Christian and as a member of this church. Pray that God would speak to you about what you need to do going forward. Now would you pray that you would have a humble, broken and contrite heart as you hear the word? Would you please pray for the other people in this room that God would give them the wonderful gift of a humble, broken and contrite heart as they hear the Holy Scriptures this morning, and that they would respond in faith? Now would you please pray for me, that I would preach this sermon accurately, that I would deal with the Scriptures accurately, and that the Word of God would touch your heart. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. This church means so much to me personally. Those of you that have been here for a long time know that I've been here for a relatively long time. I have not been here even half as long as Betty or Tom or some of the rest of you. But I have been here a long time. There was a picture up there of me with my girlfriend who's there. With the youth group. There was a picture there of me with a little infant in a little baby carrier with the youth group. I came here as a single man, and I've been married 17 years. My oldest daughter is 14. And it is so great to have been here that long, to be able to get to know some of you so well. You are my family. And I know that you feel that way about me too. My daughter and her sister, my other daughter, went to Planet Wisdom. And it was so great because 10, 12, 14 years ago, I was the youth leader. I took kids to Planet Wisdom, and there was one girl who really didn't want to go. Her dad said, "You need to go on this," and that girl went to Planet Wisdom, and in her own words, she was bombarded with the love of Jesus Christ. This weekend, my girls, my daughters went on Planet Wisdom, and that girl was their youth leader. Amen. It is so good to have a church family, and before I start my formal sermon, Julie and I, Elizabeth and I, Rebecca and I, want you to know that we are thankful to you. My dear brothers and sisters, as we reach for the future of Trinity Baptist Church, we need to do three things. We need to do three things. You have this in your notes. Number one, we need to reach up. We need to reach up. Would you please take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22:34. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands depend the whole law and the prophets. Trinity Baptist Church, this scripture is so incredibly important. Please understand the power of this scripture. Someone came to Jesus and said, what's the greatest command of all? His answer is very important. And his answer is, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That is the greatest commandment. Incredibly important scripture. The Lord Jesus died so that you and I could have a relationship with God. The Lord Jesus died so that you and I could have a relationship with God. Please join me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ has reconciled us to God. Christ has brought us into a Father-Son relationship with God. Amen. And now we have the privilege of loving God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. How do you grow in love for God? I'm looking out in front of me at all of my dear family, and I know that you want to grow in your love for God. How do you grow in your love for God? The more I read the Scriptures, the more I love God.
Amen.
The more I read the Scriptures, the more I love God. In fact, that's in your notes. The Word of God, treasured in a humble heart, will produce love for God. The Word of God, treasured in a humble heart, will produce love for God. If you read this book, brothers and sisters, you will be encouraged in a relationship with God. Please keep your finger or a bookmark or a pen or something in 2 Corinthians 5. We'll be back there. And join me in Psalm 19. Look at how awesome the Word of God is. Psalm 19. Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. Does your soul need restoring? The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. The reason we do the One Hope Project, brothers and sisters, and we could do a lot of things for the poor and needy. A lot of churches do other stuff. Most churches give food to the poor. Should we do that? Absolutely. Most churches give water or clothing or shelter or education. What Trinity Baptist chooses to do for the needy is give them this book. Because we treasure it. My constant prayer for you is that you would absolutely love this book. I pray that for each and every one of you regular attenders. By name, my constant prayer for you is that you would love this book. It's sweeter than honey. It's more precious than gold. It's the greatest book ever written. Each and every page restores your soul, rejoices your heart, enlightens your eyes, and makes you wise. Often, I'll talk to people and I'll say, "Have you been reading your Bible?" And they say, "Pastor, I just don't have time. I just don't have time to read my Bible." And I want to challenge you with something, brothers and sisters, as I stand before you. If you are not reading your Bible, it is not a time problem. It is not a time problem. It is a treasure problem.
Read, brother, read.
It is a treasure problem. The reason people do not read the Word of God on a regular basis is because they do not understand how rewarding and how wonderful reading the Bible really is. It is a treasure problem. This book, and this book alone, will fill you with joy and strength when you cannot go one step further. This book and this book alone will set you free from Satan's lies.
Amen.
This book alone. This book and this book alone will teach you the majesty and beauty of God. This book and this book alone will teach you the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. This book and this book alone is the lamp to your feet and the light to your path. Treasure this book, Trinity Baptist Church, and read it over and over and over and over and over again. You will grow like crazy in your walk with God if you treasure this book. And we will grow as a church if we treasure it together. We will grow as a church if we treasure it together. How do we treasure it together? How do we treasure this book together? Let's imagine that you go to work. And you work, let's say it's a 12-hour day. 12-hour day. And it's a hard day. I know none of you have had a hard day at work, so just try and use your imagination with me. It's a hard day. You're busy, 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 busy. You have no time to eat. You work a 12-hour day, no break, no snack, no time to eat whatsoever. So what do you get? You get tired, you're weak, you have a headache. Your coworkers are mad at you. Your boss comes to you and chews you out. Machines break. People underneath you fail to do their jobs that you have assigned them. It is a disaster of a work day. You haven't had time to eat at all. You go home and you are weak, you are starving, you are tired. But I got great news. Tonight, of all nights, you have planned to go to LG's Prime Steakhouse. Or if you don't like steak, insert the restaurant of your choice. You go, and if you're me, actually if you're me, you'd go to Sloan's, but you go to LG's Prime Steakhouse, you order filet mignon, cooked perfectly, baked potato. If you're me, you get asparagus or broccoli or something like that. Don't worry, there's a great meal afterwards. Just hang in there with me. The server brings you the plate, nice chrome thingy, dome. Who said thingy? Praise God for you. Thank you. Done. Pulls off the plate. And there's a bag of potato chips. From a vending machine. That's obviously been there too long. My question to you is, would you tolerate that? Why do church people all over the world tolerate it? Life is tough. It's hard to be a Christian. All week long we face temptation. All week long we face loneliness. All week long we face pressure. All week long you face soul-rending, soul-tearing decisions. How do I do this and how do I do that? All week long you struggle with fear and doubt and temptation. All week long maybe you face ridicule for your faith. You're spiritually discouraged. You're defeated. You're tired. On Sunday morning, you need steak. You need steak. But all over the world today, Trinity Baptist, all over the world today, preachers are giving out potato chips. You may be here today and you may be part of Trinity and you may be going to be part of Trinity for a long time. You may be here today and you're passing through. Wherever you go, insist on a meal. Insist on a meal. You know, I've started to pray something, and I wonder if you'll join me in praying this. This is really important, Trinity Baptist Church. I've started to pray that the people in the pew all over the world will no longer tolerate potato chips. Why don't you join me? Because that's the answer. For the people in the pew to come to the pastor and say, hey, I came here for the word and you didn't give it to me. And I'm going to give you a pass this week, but I'm not going to tolerate that again. Pray that the people in the pews will not tolerate potato chips. What else do we need to do for the future, Trinity Baptist? What else do we need to do? Open your Bible to Matthew 28. I really hope that there's not potato chips in the potluck. I'm going to feel really bad about that. Matthew 28:18. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This beautiful scripture gives us the second and the third things we need to do to reach forward as a church. Number two in your notes, we need to reach in. We must reach in. Brothers and sisters of Trinity, we must be committed to building each other up, both at home and at church. Both at home and at church. Men of Trinity, listen to me for a second. You have an incredible opportunity to serve the Lord. You have an incredible opportunity to influence the world for Jesus Christ. When is that moment? What is that opportunity? That moment comes every day when you go home. Amen. When you go home. Keep your finger in 2 Corinthians 5 and join me in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. Yeah. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church.
Hallelujah.
Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband.
Yeah.
Men of Trinity, I have a question for you. Are you committed to building up and encouraging your wife? Are you committed? Are you committed to helping your wife grow in her relationship with Christ? Every time you walk in that door, every time you walk in that door, you have an opportunity to build your wife up. We are so busy with a bunch of other stuff, aren't we, men? We're so busy with other stuff. Often we're so busy with other ministries. Are you building up your wives? Are you building up your wives? Wives, you also have a great opportunity, and you can be an incredible source of encouragement to your husband. Men of Trinity, I'm still talking to you. Look at this verse behind me on the screen. In fact, it's just a few verses forward from where you are. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Men, you have an incredible opportunity to influence the world for Christ, and the opportunity is at home. The opportunity is at home. Fathers and mothers, we are so busy serving the Lord in other places. We are so busy serving the Lord in other places. But are you missing out on the incredible opportunity to train your kids? Are you missing out on the responsibility you have to train your kids? How powerful would it be for the world? How powerful would it be if the Christians of the world decided, I'm going to disciple my children?
Hallelujah. Glory.
My father was very, very, very busy at church. He taught Sunday school for, I would guess, 40 years. He preached countlessly. He served on endless committees and endless boards. Whenever the church doors opened, he was there. But he did not miss out on the opportunity to train his son. My dad is gone now. But he spent hours and hours and hours and hours loving me. He spent hours and hours and hours spending time with me. He spent hours and hours and hours having fun with me. He spent hours and hours and hours training me to be a Christian man. And even though he's been gone for 7 years, he continues to have an impact for Christ because he trained me. Fathers and mothers, are you so busy with other ministries that you're forgetting your responsibility to train your kids? Brothers and sisters, we need to reach up. We need to reach in. And families are not the only thing. Brothers and sisters, there's another way we need to reach in. Look at Paul's advice to Pastor Timothy behind me on the screen. The things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This is Paul talking to Pastor Timothy, the pastor of the church in Ephesus, and he says, Timothy, the things I taught you, teach them to faithful men who will teach others. This verse is so important for Trinity Baptist Church. Men of Trinity, you may be a husband, you may be single. You may be a dad, you may not be a dad. But I am calling all the men of Trinity, the mature Christian men of this church, I am calling you right now. Grab a younger brother and adopt him as your spiritual son and train him to be a godly man. This is incredibly important for Trinity Baptist Church. Women, we desperately need you as well. Look behind me on the screen. Titus chapter 2. Incredibly important passage for Trinity Baptist Church going forward. Write this down. Remember this, women. This is an incredibly important passage for Trinity Baptist Church going forward. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, not enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Women in the church, look around you. Look around you. Trish is in the nursery right now. That thing is full. That thing is full. When I say, children, you're dismissed. There's a reason you all think there's an earthquake. There are a lot of young women in the church. Some of them are newly married or been married a year or so. Some of them are pregnant. Some of them have little babies. They need you. I'm talking to the older women in the church. They need you. Some of them are single and having very, very difficult questions about dating and marriage, and they need your guidance. Reach in, women in the church. Reach in. Find a young woman. Adopt her as your spiritual daughter and train her to be a woman of God. This is what we need you to do here at Trinity. We looked at our slideshow, Trinity Baptist Church. Some of those slides were really old. Some of them were 6 months old, but some of them were a long time ago. 65 years, brothers and sisters. I want to ask you a question. What will Trinity be like in 10 years? What will Trinity be like in 20 years? What will Trinity be like in 50 years? I have a personal goal, and that's to be here, not as pastor. Don't worry. I'm going to need Mike before then. But I have a personal goal to be here in this room to celebrate the 100th anniversary of Trinity Baptist Church. But I'm going to be 80 years old. I'm going to be, yeah, Joe will be gone. I'll see you there, Joe. I'm going to be 80 years old. And though Betty James is strong enough to run the church, I won't be at 80. The younger people in the church will be in charge at that point. My question to you is this, older people in the church, my question to you is this, what do you want the church to be like? Do you want Trinity Baptist Church to love this book 20 years from now? Do you want Trinity Baptist Church to love this book 20 years from now? You have to pass on a love for the Scriptures to the younger people here in the church. Do you want Trinity Baptist Church to be a place of prayer? 20 years from now, you have to pass, you have to teach the younger people how to pray.
Amen.
Do you want Trinity Baptist Church to be a place of holiness, a place of righteousness, a place of purity? You have to pass on these things to the younger people. Do you want Trinity Baptist Church to be a place where the gospel is loved, where the gospel is preached, where the gospel is shared with the lost? You have to train the younger people to make Trinity that church. We have to reach in. We have to reach up, and we have to reach in. And finally, in your notes, we have to reach out. We have to reach out. I've been asking you to keep 2 Corinthians 5 with a bookmark. Go ahead and go back there now, please. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Second Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Such a powerful passage. I was God's enemy. I was separated from God. I was doomed to go to hell. I was apart from God, and there was absolutely nothing I could do about it. But Christ reconciled me to God. Christ made peace with me and God. We sing this beautiful song. Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you. The wrath of God completely satisfied. Jesus, thank you. Once your enemy, now seated at your table. Jesus, thank you. Jesus did that for us. He reconciled us to God. And now, he says, go, he commands us, go and spread the good news. Go and spread the good news. One of my favorite times when I was much younger, I was going door to door with the church where I grew up, and I was going with an older lady, and we were not doing very well. Going door to door, knock on the door, Jesus loves you, and people are slamming the door. It was Saturday morning, so we were probably waking people up. And she began to get frustrated. She began to get frustrated. Hey, how are you? We're from Reseda Baptist. Jesus loves you. And as we were headed to the next house, she says, this is good news, people! And I'll never forget that. God is reaching out to the world saying, I love you. I love you. And I offer you forgiveness free of charge. It's good news. Have you ever seen a little kid? There's good news to be shared. And the little kid always says what? Can I share? Can I say it? Can I say it? Daddy, 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 can I say it? Can I say it? God is speaking to the world. I love you, I love you, I love you. It's going to be okay. Jesus died for your sins. And we are His children. And we should be looking up saying, can I say it? Can I tell Him? Can I tell the good news, please? Can I be the one? God looks down and says, okay, my child. You can tell Him. You can tell Him. Living Waters produces gospel tracts. They should be backlogged for years with Christians who want to tell the good news. Oh, that you could be the one to tell your neighbor this good news. What an awesome privilege. What an awesome privilege. I'm so happy that we have the One Hope Project. This takes us right back to our love for the Scriptures. By God's grace and for His glory, we have been able, Trinity Baptist and three or four other churches have given 14,000 Bibles to our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ. Imagine the impact of that. Imagine the impact of that. I'm so happy about that, but we can do so much more. We can do so much more. We're going to start what we call the One Hope Challenge. The One Hope Challenge. And that's simply this. If a person takes the One Hope Challenge, they commit this. They say to God, by your grace and for your glory, I'm going to donate one Bible every Sunday for as long as you enable me. By God's grace and for God's glory, I'm going to donate one Bible every Sunday for as long as you enable me. That's $5. If you take the One Hope Challenge, you donate one Bible every Sunday. I'm so excited about this. Because we've given 14,000 Bibles in 4 years. This is a big valley. There's a lot of Christians in this valley. Imagine if Trinity Baptist Church can be used to lead 1,000 Christians to take the One Hope Challenge. If 1,000 Christians in this valley take the One Hope Challenge, you check my math and tell me if I'm wrong. I usually am wrong at math, but I really worked on this one. If 1,000 Christians take the One Hope Challenge, by God's grace and for God's glory, I would donate one Bible every Sunday for as long as you enable me. We can send from the Coachella Valley 50,000 Bibles a year overseas. The Coachella Valley can shower the Middle East with Bibles. And God will change the world. I'm so excited about the future of Trinity Baptist Church. Brothers and sisters, reach up, reach in, reach out. Together, let's reach for the future. Will you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, use us to encourage each other and to spread the gospel. And help us to love you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.